Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Again, we are coming to you from Kenya, and we're having some very nice warm weather. We're into the dry season now, although we did have a bit of a shower last night, but mostly we're in the dry season. It's getting hotter and it's getting drier, and so we are thankful for the great bounty the Lord has given us. We have a pretty good maize crop standing in the field. We're going to be harvesting in about a week, and so we're very thankful for that. We're thankful for what the Lord has given us this week and this year for the ministry, and so we praise your name, Lord Jesus, for all the bounty that you have given us. We're talking about a crusade in Sabatia in Kenya, here not too far from here, about 30 kilometers from here, and we're going to be doing that the last week in January, a 3 to 4 day crusade, and so keep that in your prayers. We'll need provision for that. We'll need a team to go and help organize and help mobilize and get the fire going there in Sabatia. Sabatia is a small community, several thousand people there, but it's small in relationship to some of the other towns around here. And so we're going to be looking forward to setting up right in the middle of the town, a big tarmac, open space right in the middle of town. And so it should be a great place to draw many people there from every direction of Sabatia. And so we thank the Lord for that. We have the children at the children's home. If you would find a place in your heart to send a gift for them, it would be much appreciated. And so they can help have joy. They can rejoice also at Christmas and have some joy, because all of them, most of them, are orphans and totally broken and separated from their families. And so a small gift to them would be very nice and very appropriate at this time of year. Well, today we're going to be talking about a prophecy, one of the most astounding prophecies in the Old Testament, of which there are many, and hundreds have been spoken about the coming and the ministry of our Lord and Savior, and many of the most astounding ones are found in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke 700 to 800 years before our Lord and Savior was born and before his ministry began here on this earth. And so God gave Isaiah revelation about our coming Savior, our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God. And so this is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah chapter 9. If you have your Bible there, turn it to chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 6. And let me just say briefly about the prophecies of the Old Testament. Every single prophecy spoken in the Old Testament, again, of which I say there was hundreds spoken about our Lord and Savior and other aspects of the ministry, all of those have come to pass to this point in time in history. All of them have come to pass. There are still some yet to be fulfilled, but the ones up until today, to this point in time, have all come to pass. And the odds of that happening and they all being fulfilled and come to pass is just infinitesimal. The chances of that happening are so small that you can't even hardly calculate it. And yet they have all come to pass to this point in time and today. And the ones regarding the book of Revelation and the end time events that have been spoken by Isaiah and Daniel and the other prophets of the Old Testament, they will also come to pass. And that in itself, beloved, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that in itself, if you're an intellectual person or you have a logical mind, that should impress you and astound you to the point where it would make you stop and believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And so we're going to look at this amazing prophecy here, and it starts in chapter 9, verse 6, the book of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so that is the prophecy, two verses, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And so we're going to take this prophecy and look at it a bit, piece by piece, word by word, and see exactly what Isaiah was given revelation of, and see how it applies to our life today, 2,000 years later. And so we're going to know our Lord and our Savior and have revelation of our Lord and our Savior the same way that Isaiah was given revelation of him in that day. We think about the first words that Isaiah spoke, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given," and that word "son" is capitalized in the King James Version, and so is the word "child." And so we know from this that this son spoken of by Isaiah had divinity. He was a divine being, even though he was an earthly being or a incarnate being here on this earth. He had a divine origin, a divine source, and I'm not going to talk today about the actual birth of Jesus, the actual story of the birth of Jesus. You can look that up in the first two chapters of Matthew, the book of Matthew, and also in the first two chapters in the book of Luke. It goes into extensive details on the actual birth, the details of the birth and the situation and surroundings of the birth of our Lord. But I'm going to just focus on this prophecy. And it says that the government shall rest upon his shoulders. Well, what does it mean by that? Beloved, the kings of the earth make their stand. Everything on the earth regarding governments, which occupies the time, the focus, the conversation, the interest of every single person on the face of the earth. Everybody is focused and is interested in governmental decrees, governmental taxes, governmental policies, governmental plans. All of this is from the government of men. The kings of the earth make their stand. And so the governments are very important. And when it says here in Isaiah 9, 6 that the government shall be upon his shoulder, we understand that the governments of the world are dependent upon and rely upon and are a result of the creation. And men and women have organized themselves into governments and into boundaries and places all over the world and languages, and it's all under the direction, who has the final say? We sing a song here in Kenya, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. And so we know that the governments of the world are dependent upon and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because every man's heart is in the hand of the Lord. In fact, Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." And not only is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord, beloved, but your heart is in the hand of the Lord. My heart is in the hand of the Lord. It is the Lord that gives you breath today. It is the Lord that allows you to live this day. It is the Lord that woke you up this morning, and he will allow your head to lie down on your bed and you to sleep tonight, or he may take you. This may be your last day here on this earth. I hope it isn't. But for some, it may be. It may be their graduation day. And so the Lord has your heart in his hands, and he has the king's heart in his hand. And like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Psalm 33:12 is another scripture that speaks to us about the Lord. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And we've certainly seen that here in the United States in the last generation, and particularly even more, I would say, in the last year. This nation is rocked with chaos. This nation is rocked with crime. This nation is rocked with uncertainty. People are starting to have fear about inflation, fear about crime, fear about insecurity, and all of these issues that are governmental issues. And in Psalm 33:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Well, beloved, when people pray, when people get down on their knees and they pray corporately, and they pray in their prayer closet for their nation, the Lord hears. And so we need to be in prayer for this nation. We need to be in prayer that corruption will be rooted out, and that people will see the Lord, that they will come to the Lord, that the decisions of our decision makers brings honor and glory to the Lord. And so we also here in Kenya, we have an election coming up in 2022 in August of this coming year, and already the candidates are lining up, and there's great anxiety in the nation, great fear, because Kenya elections, generally speaking, are surrounded by a lot of chaos and violence, and there's been some very violent elections in the years past with many people dying and businesses getting torched and all of that stuff. And so the nation that bows their knee to the Lord, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we pray that Kenya, our God is the Lord, and we will turn to the Lord and seek his face regarding this election, regarding these candidates, and the same for the U.S. When we pray and we ask God to expose and reveal corruption and wickedness and things that were not done regarding the election in 2020, things that were not done correctly and properly and righteously, we pray that God will expose them and God will reveal his perfect will for this nation, the United States of America, and also for Kenya as we look to this coming election in the new year. Well, Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous reign, the people rejoice, but when the wicked reign, the people groan." Well, isn't that the truth? We hear a lot of groaning going on right now because people are anxious, people feel insecure, inflation is taking huge bites out of their income, out of their weekly or monthly paycheck. And so when the righteous reign, the people rejoice because they have freedom, they have joy, and they are thankful for the way things are going in their country. Well, as we look further in this verse 6, it says that his name, we're speaking now prophetically, his name of the son of this child that will be born, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so there's five names that Isaiah spoke that this child, this son, would be spoken by these names. And certainly now in hindsight, we can look back at our Lord and Savior, and we can also look at our own testimony, our own life, our own experience. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know he is the fulfillment of these names. He is the embodiment of these names. He is everything that these names describe him to be. And even more than that, you have eternal salvation. You have eternity at his hand, at his right hand. You have eternity, and you can rejoice with the angels in heaven and with your family members who have gone on before you. And so you can rejoice in the fact that these names perfectly describe and are fulfilled by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, his name is, first of all, Wonderful. And when Simeon was waiting in the temple for the revealing of the child Jesus Christ, when Simeon was in the temple, Simeon was an old man at this point in his life, and it had been revealed to him by the Lord that he would see the Christ child before he passed away. And you can read about this in Luke chapter 2. And so when Jesus' parents brought Jesus the child into the temple. It says that in Luke 2:28, it says that Simeon, he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have now seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Well, the revealing of the Christ child to Simeon, who was a keeper, you might say, a keeper in the temple of the hope, the keeper of the hope of the coming of the Christ child. And he said, "His eyes have seen your salvation." Well, beloved, I hope your eyes are seeing the salvation of a wonderful Savior. But we have a wonderful Savior, and God has revealed him to people in times past, and he is revealing him to people in times of today. Well, the second name that Jesus had was Counselor, given to him by Isaiah, Counselor. 1 Peter 5 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Well, beloved, when you go to a counselor here on this earth, you speak about your problems, you speak about your anxieties, you speak about your sorrow and your pain. And beloved, you can speak to Jesus Christ about your sorrow and your pain, about your anxiety. He knows every temptation that you have been through. He knows every trial and tribulation you have been through. He knows everything about you. And so you can speak to him because he has experienced every experience that any man on this earth has ever experienced. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points or in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so we can know that Jesus Christ sympathizes with every one of our trials. He sympathizes with us when we sin. He sympathizes with us when we are going through temptation and the devil is beating us up in every direction. And so we have a high priest that has gone before us and has prepared the way for us, that we can walk in peace, that we can walk in the Spirit, that we can have joy, and we can have peace, and we can have love, and we can have patience and kindness, gentleness, all of those fruits of the Spirit's that you desire for your life. You can have them today because Jesus has lived this life on the earth as a man, the incarnate Son of Man, and he has prepared the way for us so that we can also enjoy this life. But even greater, the salvation of the Lord is ours to obtain. The salvation of the Lord is ours to claim, and we can know that joy that God has prepared for us, and we can live in that joy while we're here on the earth. Well, the third name that Isaiah gave Jesus was Mighty God, and this is a description of Jesus. He is not Jehovah God. Don't take this teaching to mean that there's no Trinity. Many people out there are teaching that Jesus is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Spirit. No, we believe in the Trinity. The Bible speaks of the Trinity. There are hundreds and hundreds of passages of Scripture that fortify and exemplify and speak of the Trinity. And so we are not against the Trinity when we speak of Jesus as Mighty God. Well, John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And Jesus became man," verse 14, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God, but he was the Word, and he became flesh. John says he became flesh and he dwelt among us. Well, John 8:58, Jesus said to the Jews who were speaking to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so Jesus spoke about himself in the same terms, the same terminology, the exact same description that Jehovah God spoke to Moses in Exodus when Moses was being sent to the children of Israel. And Jesus said to the Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am." And so he was with the Father at the creation, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26. Says, "Let us make man in our image." In our image, Jesus and Jehovah God and the Holy Spirit were there at the beginning of creation. And so he is God, just as Jehovah God is God, just as the Holy Spirit also is God. And so that is the Trinity. But Jesus is the person, the Son of God, and the incarnate Son when he walked on this earth. Well, the fourth name is Everlasting Father. John 8:27, they did not understand that he, Jesus, spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." And so Jesus said, "I am just like the Father." In fact, he said in John 14, verse 9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." So how do you say, "Show us the Father"? And in verse 11, he said, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes." He was talking about the miracles that he had performed. And so Jesus is in the Father. The Father is in Jesus. They are not the same. They are of the same essence. They are of the same purpose. They are the same divinity, but they are not same. They are separate persons. So we're not, again, speaking against the Trinity here. When we call Jesus Everlasting Father, he is a father to the fatherless. He is a father to those who don't have a father or a mother. We see that here in Kenya, as many, many children don't have parents. They don't have a home. And so we have provided a home for them, but he is their everlasting Father. That is why we teach them about Jesus and we pray with them and we take care of them, because it's Jesus' desire that he be their everlasting Father. Well, the last name that Isaiah spoke over Jesus, that he would be the Prince of Peace. And beloved, when you have Jesus in your heart, it brings peace to you individually. When people have Jesus in their heart, it brings peace to their community, to their nation, and to their family. And so John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Well, beloved, it's very easy to get troubled. It's very easy to get fearful this day and age. As we look at the news, listen to the news, there's anxiety and there is trouble and chaos and all kinds of things going on that can cause us all kinds of stress and ulcers and turmoil in our life. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, you can have peace, you can have joy, you can have patience, you can have kindness, and all of these attributes of Jesus then become available to you, and you can have those attributes in your very own life as well. Well, just briefly, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And beloved, that's why I am here in Kenya, is because of the increase of his government. We want to see the increase of the kingdom of God here in Kenya. We want to see the increase of the kingdom of God all over the face of the earth as the end times draw near, as the end day and the return of our Lord and Savior draws near. We want to see the increase of his government in every corner of the earth, in every village, every community, every nation, and you can be a part of that. And that is God's plan. Isaiah spoke it of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. Well, the end will come someday. And when the gospel is preached in all the nations, the Bible tells us, then the end will come. And so you can be a part of that. Help us preach the gospel in all the nations. Help us to get the word out about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in this nation of Kenya and around the world through this radio broadcast. And so we thank the Lord for that. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to be a part of this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Make a year-end offering to this ministry. Help us take the Word of God to the nations around the world. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.